You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of March 1st, 2016, and episode number 255. And this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. An interesting week we've had. Nothing really majorly paranormal, just a lot of weird stuff going on out there. I'm not sure what's going on. I don't know if it's because the weather is changing or what's going on. We got a big snowstorm headed through the Northeast right now. And we've got some weird things happening all over the world. This week's news includes a unicorn. That's right, a unicorn captured in California. And the chupacabra, well, move on over, chupacabra. There's a Chinese vampire creature on the loose. The Bigfoot bust is for sale online. UFOs and aliens are real, claims a 49-year-old former Navy officer. And a woman returns from the dead with a message. Fast radio bursts. Origin is determined. And is the moon really hollow? Well, we'll find out tonight on the Paranormal News Insider. And we'll also have the Book of the Week, conferences, conventions, and who knows what else. Maybe clowns juggling fire. I don't know what could happen tonight, but you're going to find out live if you're here. If you're not, well, you're going to find out on the archive and you'll miss all the fun. Tonight's news is brought to you by the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science. IMHS is a premier online and distance learning university that offers high-quality doctorate and doctoral PhD metaphysics degrees that will enhance your life and career, even if your career is not in the metaphysics field. For more information on the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. And I can vouch for them. That's where I got all three of my degrees over the course of many years. And really great programs. There are a lot of different degrees. I got mine in metaphysical humanistic science, but there's also a lot of paranormal topics there if you're interested in such a thing, which I'm sure you would be. You're listening to a paranormal program here, right? So what is going on? Well, a lot of weird stuff, like I said, all over the world. And got to plug my stuff that's coming up over the course of the next couple of months. Got a big next thing coming up for me is a big convention in Pennsylvania, the Butler Paranormal Conference 2016. And that is presented by the Butler Organization for the Research of the Unexplained, or BORU, BORU, and Center for Unexplained Events, CUE, or Q. They announced the 9th annual Butler Paranormal Conference, April 16, 2016, at the Tanglewood Senior Center at 10 Austin Avenue in Lindora, Pennsylvania. Now, this event will run from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. on April 16th, and admission at the door is $10. And you can save a dollar from that admission with a donation of a non-perishable food item. Scheduled speakers include Ronald Murphy, who will be talking about the Dogman, tracking the werewolf through history. Brett McGinnis from Sci-Fi Channel's TV show Ghost Hunters Academy, as well as paranormal documentary The Staring Man, will be speaking. Some weird guy named Brian Parsons will be talking about a balanced look at cryptozoology, research, and investigation. And leading up to that event, probably after or that week, I don't know. I'll figure it out. Depends on the news, really. I'll talk a little bit more about that. We're going to talk a little cryptozoology today. And then there's also Karen Dolan, who will be speaking on The Truth Is Out There, Paranormal News and the Mainstream Media. I'll be glued to my seat for that one, I guarantee you. And then Stan Gordon will be talking Strange Creatures of Pennsylvania. There's going to be a lot of vendors there, book signings. The Men in Black will also be in attendance. I don't think they're supposed to announce that, but they're going to be there anyway. door prizes, raffles, and a lot more. There's always a ton of people there. If you're anywhere near the Pittsburgh metro area, get there. This is an awesome event. It's always pretty packed with a lot of people, a lot of knowledgeable people. It's pretty much southwestern Pennsylvania groups and people, but obviously some weirdo from Ohio is going to be there, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And I had a lot of fun last year as a vendor selling books. And this year I get to get up in front of the crowd. I hope I do okay. It's going to be scary, but it's going to be a good time. Always a lot of people there. And Pennsylvania is, especially that part of Pennsylvania, there's a lot of weird stuff going on. Tons of Bigfoot sightings over the years. Tons of UFO sightings over the years. Who knows about ghosts? Ghosts are everywhere, right? But the Kecksburg event, the crashed UFO happened there in that area. And like I mentioned, Bigfoot, ton of Bigfoot sightings. There's a Chestnut Ridge area where a ton of Bigfoot sightings have happened. And speaking of that, May 6th through the 8th, I'll be speaking at the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping Adventure with host Eric Altman in Farmington, Pennsylvania, which is somewhat close to the area in which I'll be speaking in April, a little different location. And Stan Gordon will also be there. Squatch Detective Radio host Steve Coles. There's going to be two other speakers, a lot of workshops. We'll have day and night hikes into the woods. That's going to be fun. I had a lot of fun doing this a few years ago. And it's a 3-day, 2-night camping, public camping outing for Bigfoot researchers, enthusiasts, fans, skeptics, because we want to believe. We don't, not all of us there will definitely believe 100% about all this stuff, but we want to believe. So, you know, Eric and I see eye to eye on a lot of this stuff. We don't believe everything that's out there. And so we're going to provide you a balanced look at cryptozoology, which is always a lot of fun, instead of just a bunch of people who believe in banging on trees with sticks and screaming into the woods and a lot of the other weird things that go along with Bigfootology. But with cryptozoology, I like to talk about a lot of different things. And like I said, we'll mention that in a second. But one last thing, leading into the news, speaking of news, with paranormal type news, we lost somebody in the paranormal family last week that helps my show. I was saddened to hear that one of the weekday editors of the Anomalist website, Melanie Billings, passed away on Sunday, February 21st, at her home in South Carolina. She had that role for about 4 years, but her work was very balanced, if not a little skeptical, which for me was always very nice to read. In fact, a bit of her wit on a few stories on last week's Paranormal News Insider were included. Some of her stories that she published were included last week as well. And I've been reading The Anomalous for many years and have always considered it one of my top sources of stories. And it's also on the Paranormal News Insider website, paranewsinsider.com. And I have a news feed, and The Anomalous is the top section. And when you look at The Anomalous, you can always tell who edited a block of stories on the site by the initials at the end. There's two little letters, and we won't see MB anymore. And she's done a lot of great work, and she's inspired me with her skepticism and her balanced look at the news over the years. And she will definitely be missed. And she was only 42 years old, which scares me because that's how old I am. And it's hard to see that we lose people all the time. But somebody that I read her work on a daily basis, whether I realized it was somebody, you know, a human person attached to that or not, it's I recognize her work on a daily and weekly basis. And it's sad to lose somebody like that. So my thoughts go out to her family and those affected by that. And it's rough to look at the Anomalous website because at the top they're hiring somebody to replace her, and it's just hard. And hopefully they can measure up to what she has done for that website. Now, cryptid news. Mentioned I want to talk a little cryptozoology. Well, leading up to the April event and my May events, probably May we'll talk a little bit more about Bigfoot stuff. But leading up to April, I want to talk a little bit just generalized cryptozoology things. So what is cryptozoology? Well, the basic definition would be the study of unknown or undiscovered animals. Pretty blanketed term. And when I describe cryptozoology, I give it four different descriptions: out of time, out of place, out of bounds, and out of this world. Or sometimes I say out of mind. Now, the first one, out of time, would be dinosaurs. The coelacanth, which was rediscovered in 1938, it was thought to only exist in the fossil record. Those are known as Lazarus taxons. Something that disappeared that we thought was gone all of a sudden reappears, usually much, much later. And out of place would be a tiger in New York City. Obviously, something would probably escape from maybe the Bronx Zoo or an escaped pet. And if out of bounds, animals that were thought to exist but they weren't thought to exist but were discovered anyway, like the Kraken, or Kraken, however you want to pronounce it, slightly justified by the recent discovery of the giant squid. These are new species never known to exist, also such as the megamouth shark that was discovered by accident. And then you have the fourth designation, out of this world, which would include mythical, supernatural, or even paranormal creatures. A lot of things that get a lot of talk on the paranormal news outlets, such as Mothman, Jersey Devil, things that are just not normal by physics, just not possible types of animals. And I just read a recent story about an animal called the Eastern Quoll, which is a small carnivorous marsupial that is in the Australian area. It's known to only exist in Tasmania off the coast of Australia, but it's thought to be extinct on the mainland. The last specimen was seen back in 1963. Well, suddenly a taxidermied specimen turned up that is said to be from 1989 and was donated to the Gloucester National Parks and Wildlife Service. DNA testing on the specimen confirmed it was the right animal. Now, there's other species that look nearly identical to this animal, so it's a specific species. And you run into that a lot, especially here in cryptozoology and in the animal world itself. Now, less than a mile from where I'm sitting right this moment, there was a cave-dwelling amphipod, which is like a shrimp. It's clear shrimp. They live in caves. It was discovered. Now, it looks like every other one that's here in the United States, but genetically, its DNA was slightly different than those that exist anywhere else in the world. So a unique animal was discovered, again, less than a mile from where I'm sitting right now broadcasting this show from the Paranormal News Insider Studios. I need a sponsor. That would be, it'd be so nice to have a sponsor to say such and such studios. Anyway, this specimen discovered in Australia. Now, they said that this came from the mainland. So this may help prove that this little guy still exists in the wild in Australia. And if you haven't seen this story, this little guy is really, he's one of those cute animals. Sometimes you have ugly animals. Nobody really cares about the ugly ones. They only care about the cute ones. And this little guy looks like you want to put him in his pocket and carry him around with you. Cute little dude. And from what I read about this, the Eastern Quoll, they're actually trying to reestablish this animal in the mainland of Australia, New South Wales, and other states down there. So hopefully this creature can get reestablished and show up in a lot of pictures because he's cute. And the world loves cute animals, and they don't eat them, right? So now the talk about this unicorn. Crazy story. I thought it was a joke when I first read it. I popped up on one of the popular news sites. I think it was unexplainedmysteries.com that it popped up on. I was like, no way. A unicorn? Come on. I haven't heard a good unicorn story in years. Well, this is a great unicorn story. And it comes on the heels of another creature thing that we had last week. It was the Triceratops that was stopping traffic on the Isle of Wight in Great Britain. Well, this week, yeah, we're going to top the Triceratops. I thought that was the coolest story we've had all year as far as strange creatures, a Triceratops standing in the middle of the road. That was an awesome picture. But no, that's been topped this week with this unicorn, a live unicorn, running amok in the streets of California. Calls came into the California Highway Patrol that a real-life white unicorn was on the loose in the streets of California. Gosh, I would have loved to have seen that, just as much as the Triceratops standing in the middle of the street. The CHP chased the horned horse through traffic, but it eluded them time and again. It took nearly 3 hours, and with the help of a helicopter with heat-seeking radar, to capture the legendary and mythological animal in an orchard. Now, where else would a horse or a unicorn, for that matter, hang out but in an orchard? And in case you're wondering, in case you're speculating, no, it wasn't a real unicorn, but it was a horse wearing a plastic horn. Sorry to burst your bubble. The horse is a 20-year-old horse named Juliet. Weird. Juliet, which is a short horse and has been used for years at birthday parties and photo shoots as a unicorn. Now, earlier on Wednesday, February 24th, Juliet got loose but was quickly recaptured. Right after that, that's when this melee happened. And this was due to the fact that the animal was left in the care of children. Never trust children with a unicorn. You never know what's going to happen. They're going to feed it something, Skittles, and it's going to start farting rainbows. Something bad is going to happen. And this is what happened. A three-hour chase through the streets of California. California Highway Patrol, I could just see Ponch and John with their riding their motorcycles in chase. The helicopters chasing, shooting the scene. It's live on the news channels. They're breaking story. Unicorn on the loose. Wow, I would have loved to have seen that. And in case you're wondering as well, the unicorn slash horse was left unharmed in the incident, despite her age and the ensuing chase. So it ended on a good note. They didn't have to trank it, shoot it, knock it down, throw a net over it or anything like that. You know, older horse. I don't know why it took so long, but it had to be pretty funny. I hope they release dash cam video of this or something, or aerial chase footage of this unicorn to the streets. I don't know. Maybe I'll create a Twitter feed for this unicorn. I don't know. But as cool as that was, as funny as that story is, it is not the biggest story in cryptozoology this week. Now, what could possibly top that other than a bloodthirsty animal running in the streets of China? That is even cooler, even better. All right. I'm going to throw that in the chat room there. So if you're not live, you're not listening to the show live in the chat room, you're missing out on the links that I'm sending out into the chat room so you can follow along with these stories, see some pictures and additional details in addition to me talking about these stories. You can actually kind of follow along. I don't read verbatim these stories. I use certain links to start my research on these stories, and then I'll kind of veer off and look at individual aspects of these stories to verify them and confirm what is in the stories is true or is actually occurring, because I don't want to present false information or false stories to anybody out here. I don't want to ever have my integrity questioned about what I'm presenting here on this show. So I do a lot of research, but I do like to share some of the information that I gather during these stories, and I do provide these links not only in the chat room live, but during the week on my all my social media outlets. I'll talk about those in a second here. But first, this huge story that's going on right now. The biggest story in cryptozoology this week is that of a mysterious predator that has purportedly killed around 200 animals, mostly birds, including ducks and chickens, in China in the last couple of weeks. Now, you know, okay, fine, it's attacking and killing animals. That's, you know, come on, that's not that big of a deal, right? But the unknown animal is said to have had webbed feet with four toes with a footprint that is compared to the size of a young child's hand. Doesn't sound very big, doesn't sound very scary, although it's killed 200 animals. Now, that's not the weirdest part. The weirdest part about these attacks is that there are only puncture bite wounds on the animals, and apparently this creature only drank the blood of these animals and did not eat any of the meat. That's a little peculiar. That's a little weird, and that's a little unnerving. The attacks came in an area known as Pudong New Area, which is part of the Shanghai District on the central east coast of China. Some locals are concerned that this creature may turn from stalking and killing farm animals to possibly injuring people. Some thought that possibly an escaped animal from the Shanghai Wild Animal Park was to blame, but officials state that no animals have escaped or are missing. So it's got to be something that lives around there, right? Now, officials at the Pudong Forestry Station feel that the tracks and bite marks indicate that the creature could be a badger or raccoon. We love our badgers, but locals state that the bite marks are as large as a dog. So who's right here, the experts or the people that are actually seeing this information? And is that a clue? Maybe it is a dog. Maybe it's a rabid dog going and just biting the heads off of chickens, just like Ozzy Osbourne or something. Who knows? The only other physical evidence gathered is that of a torn fence that was about the size of a football. I don't know if it's a football, or is that an American soccer ball? They don't really specify. I don't know if they call that in China or not. So I'm a little confused on that aspect of correlation of the size of the fence, because an American soccer ball is a little bit bigger in circumference than a football. Not that it's going to make a big difference, but that could be, if it's a soccer ball, it could be a dog that squeezed through a fence. And if it's the circumference of a football, you know, that may point toward a badger. But from the tracks that they're talking about, I'm thinking along the lines of an angry badger. That would be a much cooler headline, in my opinion. And I think that this raccoon or badger or whatever it is on the loose might be rabid, because it's only attacking and killing, and it's not actually feeding on these animals. So it's angry, it's upset, it's confused, it's sick. Something is going on, and that's why these animals, or this animal, I should say, is reacting the way it's reacting. Now, as for a menacing cryptid moving from small farm animals to killing people or attacking people, unless it's your ankles, I don't think that's going to happen, as the size is probably more than likely exaggerated by these scared locals, and the evidence gathered supports a small animal, not a large one. And I'll stick with the evidence over people's fears any day. But I'll be keeping an eye on this story, as hopefully this will continue to develop, and we'll get more information as time progresses. Hopefully something will turn up. Hopefully you don't have to kill this thing or whatever happens. But certainly, hopefully, I mean, something that's killed this many, and apparently there's police are searching for this creature, and they're setting up locations. I've even heard that they're setting up little chicken pens with little chickens inside of it as bait. That's how scared these people are. They're afraid that this creature is. And I didn't mention the C word, but I'm going to mention the C word. I don't need to be bleeped out for saying this, but chupacabra has been brought up about this. I don't think a chupacabra would be jumping on a boat from Puerto Rico and appearing in China, in the Shanghai area, but you never know. Maybe it got loose on a container or something. Who knows? Might make a good movie someday. What else is happening in cryptozoology? Well, I got one other story in cryptozoology, kind of a weird, creepy story. I just see a lot of weird stuff that shows up on eBay. eBay is famous for a lot of funny stories, a lot of funny things that are for sale, usually haunted dolls and haunted objects, and ghosts in a jar. That's a pretty popular one, a little mason jar with a ghost in it. You see those quite frequently that pop up. But here is one that takes the cake. Thomas Markham of the Crypto Crew brought to light a purported shoulder mount of a Bigfoot for sale on eBay. That's right. Somebody must have killed a Bigfoot and stuffed it. Taxidermy, that had to be quite expensive to do. The shoulder mount is a head and upper portion of a Bigfoot-like looking creature that seems to be a decent representation of what would look like. Now, looking at the pictures, the face is there, the eyes are there. Of course, the eyes aren't real. You know, they put little marbles in there, but it looks very, very lifelike. And they did a really good job of this, whoever put this thing together. Now, from the description for the listing, it says, quote, up for sale is an actual Bigfoot shoulder mount I would tell you how we acquired the Sasquatch in the swamps of the Osceola River, but you wouldn't believe me anyhow. We've had this Yeti in our family for many, many years. It just may be the only proof that Bigfoot truly exists. But it's time for it to go. Our cats, dog, kids, and a few adult neighbors are too afraid of it. This is truly rare and one of a kind. This is your once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to own a legit Sasquatch wall hanger. Not even Bass Pro or Cabela's owns a Yeti. The only pictures of a Bigfoot mount you will find on the internet are of this stud. The next one we find will mount the entire body, but we could only afford the shoulder mount at the time we harvested this big guy. I wonder what they did with the remains. He stood over 7.5 feet tall and weighed too much for our scales to accurately measure. Local pickup is preferred. However, we could arrange for shipping if you are not local. Please inquire. Unquote. Well, there's only two downsides to this. The first is that the hair seems to be part deer and parts of something else. And it is obviously not really a Bigfoot. Although, again, it's detailed very nicely. It looks pretty legit. The second downside is that the seller wants $25,000 for the item. Now, I know it costs a lot to taxidermy, even if it was a real Bigfoot. Maybe they're trying to pay for their legal fees in advance. I don't know. It's quite a bit of money. Now, so far, no one has made an offer. Although even scarier is the fact that there are 33 people watching this item. Well, when I did the story, there were 32 crazy people watching this item. If that tells you anything. Yeah, I'm following it too. But I just want to see if anyone actually buys this thing or bids on it or this thing moves at any point in time. Now, there's also been 5 people that have inquired about the mounting. Weird. I wonder if anybody is actually willing to throw down $25,000 for this thing. I can't not imagine. I mean, it's cool. Yeah, you know, I'm not a big hunter. I'm not about stuff, you know, showing animals hanging on walls. I think that's kind of a little weird. But I get it. Okay, I get it. But as much as I like Bigfoot and all that, I don't think I'd want a dead one hanging on my wall, staring at me as I do my show here. And for those that are wondering, the Osceola River runs through south central Georgia and cuts into the Big Bend region of the Florida Panhandle before emptying into the Gulf of Mexico. So the seller must be from either south Georgia or in that Florida Panhandle region who's trying to sell this Bigfoot mount. Which, you know, brings all kinds of questions to mind. You know, if this person admits to killing a Bigfoot and it's deemed to be a real creature, is that murder? Did you just kill an animal that's closely related to people, to man? That's a huge question. It depends also where you killed it. If you killed it in a state park or a national park, anything along that lines, or even private property, that opens some legal questions as well. I don't think people think about these things when they throw this stuff up on the website. Now, granted, it's more than likely, obviously, just a deer and other parts. And according to Thomas Markham, who posted this story, there have been other creatures like this as well that have been posted on eBay that are very similar mounts, but they turned out to be deer hides as well. Strangely enough, it ends up being the butt. The butt. And if you look at it carefully and you know the anatomy of deer, you don't have a hard time imagining that you're actually seeing the rump of a deer with the head just plopped on top of it, which is more than likely what it is. But nowhere in there do they say anything about it being for entertainment purposes or a joke or anything like that. So they're saying legitimately that they killed a Bigfoot. They don't say exactly where, as the Osceola River runs a pretty decent amount of area through southern Georgia and Florida. Not too deep into Georgia, but it does cut Florida kind of in two pieces there as it goes through. So lots of questions about that. And again, I'm watching that item, so if it does sell or there's some weird stuff going on, you'll find out about it here first. And looks like that's going to take us to our break pretty soon here. So I want to let you know that you're listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting out of Youngstown, New York, and you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons, every Tuesday night here on WCJV-DB.com. And tonight, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, Frank Lee with the Paranormalities and Pondering Show. He's always on after an hour after I'm done. You know, we need to decompress for that little hour. He's going to have Butch Witkowski on again. He's been on before. He's just one of those kind of guests that you got to have on again and again because there's so much information he has. And this guy's resume is probably bigger than mine, which is saying a lot. I seem like I've had my hands in a lot of stuff here. But he's the director and founder of the UFO Research Center of Pennsylvania, editor of JAR, the Journal of Alien Abduction Research, member of the Institute of Frontier Science. He's also a Paranexus consultant and advisor on ufology, which Paranexus I'm the executive director of. So it's cool to have him on the show here. He's a member of the Academie des Ufologies, former MUFON chief investigator, star team investigator, which is cool. Love to be a star team investigator. And state section director for MUFON and a former law enforcement officer. Again, Butch Witkowski tonight on Paranormalities and Ponderings, Tuesday night, right here on WCJV Digital Broadcasting. And again, that's www.wcjv-db.com. And tomorrow night, Wednesday night, if you're listening live, tune in tomorrow night and you can catch Paranormal Experienced with host Kat Hobson as she talks with Tom Conwell, ufologist, researcher, and author of They're Here, East Coast UFOs, Volume 1. That's going to be 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. Again, Kat Hobson with Tom Conwell as a guest. Lots of cool shows here. You're missing out if you're not listening on the nights that we have shows here on WCJV. And speaking of Paranormalities and Ponderings, I got the book of the week this week is a local author here in Ohio. But next week's book of the week has already been determined based on the guest that's going to be on Paranormalities and Ponderings. Just announced Don Allison will be on next week. And he's the author of I Met a Ghost at Gettysburg, A Journalist's Journey into the Paranormal. I've had the ability to read that book. I've gotten my hands on a copy from Don himself and I've read that. I'm going to give a little blurb on my show next week leading into Paranormalities and Pondering. So hopefully that inspires you to listen to that show. Not that you weren't going to already. Really good book. I'm excited to have him listen to him speak about it on the Paranormalities and Ponderings with host Frank Lee on Tuesday night next week. And again, Butch Witkowski tonight. So where are we at right now? We're at UFO news. Lots of cryptid stuff. Half the show already gone to cryptozoology. But why not? UFO news. Well, it appears that UFOs and aliens are real. Yep, it's been confirmed. Pack it up. Everybody go home. It's been confirmed. No more questions. We have all the answers. That's what's being said. And this is according to an anonymous source that is known to be, only known to be 49 years old and living in Ohio. We know nothing else about this person. He states that he has seen proof with his own eyes as a former third-class petty officer serving in the United States Navy in the 1980s at the former Moffett Field in California. He claims that he served there from February 1986 to October 1989 and that he handled thousands of files containing top-secret information as well as photographs of UFOs and aliens. He says he decided to come out of hiding after all of these years to help add to the pressure for the U.S. government to disclose knowledge it has on UFOs and aliens that are here on Earth or that have communicated with us, and added that his purported secrecy agreement with the government has expired, whatever that means. Now, if you remember earlier this year, President Obama told 6-year-old Macy Hensley and the audience during the Ellen show earlier in February that, quote, "We haven't actually made direct contact with aliens yet. When we do, I'll let you know," unquote. All that led to people speculating that the president meant that we had made indirect contact. Okay. Well, this latest whistleblower also claims to have inside knowledge on the Rendlesham Forest incident that took place in Suffolk, England in 1980 that is said to be Britain's Roswell incident. Well, the man in question is working with Nick Pope, who is one of the leading experts on the Rendlesham Forest incident. And Pope states that this man is genuine about his background. When have any of us in the paranormal ever been wrong about judging the character of anyone else? That's a question that should be left with or met with a little laughter there, because we're usually wrong about people, especially whistleblowers. So does this mysterious man actually have anything physical to back up his claims? Well, of course not. This, as he points out, would be treason. This mysterious man is quoted as saying, quote, "Legally, you are not authorized to walk off with classified information. That is treason, and treason is a felony. I do not possess anything other than my testimony and documents that authorize that I legitimately had the individual top secret security clearances," unquote. So that's more or less saying, it's just my word. That's all I have. Believe me. Please believe me, because I have security clearance and everything I say is true. Well, I'm not buying it. Sorry, Nick Pope. I'm not buying it. I don't believe it. It's just mere speculation. This sounds to me like somebody that just wants a book deal. Sounds like somebody that wants to go on a tour and talk about UFO conspiracy theories, and certainly will have a lot of followers behind him. But it's good to hear that MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, is also not so quick to believe this story and is currently investigating the man's claims. That's great. And not just blindly believing everything he's said. Now, I won't be surprised if this man's claims and his supposed credentials of having top secret clearance are found to be discredited fairly soon. But MUFON will do its work, and it will take time, because real work can't be done in an hour TV show, but it takes several weeks, sometimes months, to uncover information properly through proper channels. But even if they are not, this man joins a long list of people who claim to have had insider information, yet have had little other than their word and many stories that can never be verified. And that's it for UFO stories. And now I have some ghost news, as I mentioned at the top of the show here. Kind of a weird, sad, but good ending story that'll probably make a good movie. Sonia Burton, a 50-year-old bingo worker, was at work having coffee prior to her work shift earlier this year when she had a pain in her chest and then suddenly collapsed due to a massive heart attack. Sonia's boss attempted to resuscitate her as paramedics were called. Well, they arrived less than 5 minutes later, which is amazing. And they continued to provide CPR as Sonia was taken to the hospital. The two teams worked on Sonia, but were unable to get her heart beating on its own after nearly an hour of trying. Sonia's brother Mark was close by and was able to come to the bingo hall while the paramedics were working on her prior to transporting her to the hospital. He was begging them not to stop, even though her heart was not beating on its own. Finally, after 56 minutes, her heart began to beat on its own. That's quite a long time. At the hospital, she had surgery and had a stent fitted into her heart. Sonia had lost her then 37-year-old husband back in 2004, also to a heart attack. And when she came to, she recalled that during being unconscious, she remembered a visitation from her deceased husband. She said, quote, "I spoke to him, and he told me that it was not my time and I should go back. To be honest, it felt very comforting," unquote. Now, Stephen Eck, one of the paramedics, pointed out that there are 50 years of experience between him and his colleague, Jason. In their experience, nobody ever came back after 56 minutes, making Sonia a true living miracle, as she described her own case. After 8 days in the hospital, she went back home and was cared for by her family. Was this a case of a true near-death experience, or was this merely the effect of oxygen being cut off from the brain for that duration of time? Well, one would think that if oxygen depletion were the cause here, that she would have had permanent side effects. 56 minutes is a long time. And even pausing between that, if oxygen deprivation would have caused this reaction, one would think numerous times of this would have caused brain damage if that was the case, if those two things were correlated to each other. Yet none were reported. Anything that I could read, there was no permanent side effects to her. Now, perhaps she dreamed this after being resuscitated. That's also a skeptic's thought, that this doesn't happen during this process. It happens after the person has come to and is resting. Well, it's possible, since the story does not really seem to share exactly when she remembers this or told anyone. However, with so many unconnected near-death experiences that tend to share very similar experiences, there has to be something more to it than a mere physiological process. And we'll never know, unfortunately, on this particular case. And thanks to DailyMail.com and LibertyNewsOnline.com for story information about this story. There was a lot of weird speculation, really condensed information. I really had to dig to find a little bit more information so I could bring a little bit accurate representation of this particular story. But interesting. You know, near-death experiences get attacked quite a bit for the legitimacy and what really happens. But like I said, it's weird that so many different things correlate to these things. So I think there has to be something to it. And it's easy for skeptics to poke holes in things. But I guess unless you experience it, you'll never know. Not that I want to put anybody through that, but I guess we'll all get that answer one day down the road, right? Now, in other news, some out-of-this-world news. I covered a story back on January 19th of this year on episode number 249, where a strange signal from space had gone unsolved up until this year, where a new potential solution to the noise, which is known as the WOW signal, that was collected in Columbus, Ohio on August 15th, 1977. Now, Professor Antonio Paris feels that he has an answer for this 40-year-old question. While the WOW signal was a one-time deal, another blast of radio waves has been observed 16 times since 2007. These are called fast radio bursts, or FRBs, that last about a millisecond or less and had eluded researchers to where they were coming from until last April. In an odd chain of events, the Parkes Radio Telescope in Australia encountered a fast radio burst lasting less than a millisecond and was unable to pinpoint the location. Now, Evan Keane, an astronomer and project scientist for the Square Kilometer Array. Now, the Square Kilometer Array has yet to be built and will definitely be getting some mentions here on the Paranormal News Insider. It's going to be huge. It's going to be a wild thing, and we'll talk more about that some other day. Now, Keane got word of the event on his phone via email. Keane then alerted a variety of Earth and space-based telescopes, including the Australia Telescope Compact Array in New South Wales, which caught what appeared to be a fading radio afterglow in the same area. With this information, the Subaru Telescope on Mauna Kea, Hawaii, was able to search a narrowed field with its 27-foot dish to home in on a lone elliptical galaxy, which Keane and his team say is almost certainly the source of the burst. The burst is thought to originate from a galaxy that is 1.9 billion parsecs away. Now, thanks to the Han Solo debate, we know that a parsec is 3.26 light years of distance, thus making the galaxy about 6.2 billion light years away. The signals more than likely originated from two colliding neutron stars. Now, what is the significance of this finding? Sounds like a big deal, but it doesn't sound like a big deal. But from this observation, Keane and his team can estimate the cosmic microwave background based on how much material the signal traveled through based on the distance involved. Now, that sounds all complicated and stuff, but that basically can lead to mapping the universe and answering some lingering questions about matter and space, especially from the origins of what we know from the Big Bang. Or as Duncan Lorimer puts it, quote, "The field is about to transition from being kind of a fringe astrophysical Curiosity Freak Show to potentially a mainstream research area, unquote. Lorimer, out of West Virginia University in Morgantown, led the team that initially found the fast radio burst back in 2007. So this discovery could have some lingering effects on discoveries in our known universe. Could unfold a lot of answers to longstanding questions and provide us with a lot of knowledge and information to come. Now, the moon. We'll talk about the moon here. The hollow moon. Is the moon really hollow? I don't know. I've never been there. NASA's Unexplained Files. Now, we talked about that. The show appears on the Sci-Fi Channel, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, every Tuesday night. I don't know how long this show's on. Now, last week I mentioned how the show stated that the Apollo 10 astronauts heard strange music on the dark side of the moon. And it wasn't Pink Floyd they were hearing. It was actually a technical glitch and not something alien, as was heavily hinted by the television show and a lot of conspiracy theorists that followed that story. Well, this week, the show released a teaser that the moon is in fact hollow and not made of cheese. The show speculates that since a hollow moon is unprecedented, this must in fact be artificial. So who created it? Well, they leave that to the speculating audience, but they also mention that it is thought that the moon has some water somewhere under the surface, which is potentially the cause of this ringing effect. Well, the reality is that our moon is the second densest moon next to Jupiter's Io in our solar system. It is also known by science that the moon does have a solid core, a fluid outer core that exists from 150 to 205 miles in radius, followed by a partially molten boundary layer that has a radius of 300 miles, and lastly, by the solid mantle and the visible crust. The mantle and core seem to have a higher iron content than the makeup of Earth. It's hard to imagine that even in the 1970s that many people did believe the moon, in fact, was hollow. However, science and hopefully some common sense have proven this wrong. And during research of this, I came across video and audio. Well, mostly audio, I guess, is what I saw this for, of the Apollo 10 recordings. So if you haven't heard the weird noise that they heard, you can check out this video, which I'm going to post the link to the story, which has the video within it, and you can hear the strange sounds that the astronauts heard. Just a real quick blurb of it. But it's quite cool, and it's not as out there as what some of these stories portrayed. Now, as far as twisted stories, now, we've had some weird stories. We've had some out there stories. But now we're going to have a really twisted out there story. And we go back to China. Yes, China. China wins tonight. Congratulations. You've got the weirdest stories. Got some animal running amok, killing 200 chickens and ducks. And now you've got some weird, twisted stuff here about weddings and dead people. If that's not a hook, I don't know what is. It's considered bad luck for a single man to be buried in China. So prior to 1949, corpses of women would be buried with the bachelors in order to ward away bad luck. I don't know if warding away the bad luck was for the living or the dead. I'm going to guess for the living, for the family, that is. Since the outlawing of this practice back in 1949, it is said in an article in which The Independent has states that, quote, many families in China would give a deceased bachelor a statue bride or groom, or one made with dough with black beans for eyes. I don't know. That's creepy, too. Which is the case in the majority of China, where using a real corpse is very rare, unquote. However, in the Shaanxi province, there seems to be a resurgence in the practice, with 30 corpses reported missing in the last 3 years. In 2013, three men were arrested for selling 10 bodies. The Independent also stated that, quote, Chinese media is also reporting the arrest of three people who were discovered tomb raiding in Shaanxi, reportedly attempting to steal the corpse of a young woman who had died days before. And in 2011, a man was arrested in Shaanxi after murdering his wife in order to sell her body as a corpse bride. Unquote. Let that sink in for a second. Wow. That's a lot of bad luck for him either way. Either way you put it. I guess that's where damned if you do and damned if you don't comes from. Apparently, this area of China is highly superstitious and also recently began to see an increase in wealth in the area. People in rural areas are said to spend around 10,000 British pounds or about 14,000 US dollars to attain a female corpse. I think this might explain the bizarre story last year of a 28-year-old Chinese man that opted to wed a blow-up sex doll. It was said the man had terminal cancer, and while desperate to get married, he did not want to leave behind a widow. Well, my guess is after he dies, he's going to have his little doll buried with him. Well, I guess that brings good luck, right? Spooky. Anyway, that brings us to the book of the week. Let's decompress from that disturbing story. And we're going to talk about the book of the week this week. This is a local author, a man named John Kachuba, who I got to meet many years ago. Sorry for disturbing everybody there in the chat room. John Kachuba is a local Ohio author. And yes, men can be weird. Leave it to men. John Kachuba is the author of Why Is This Job Killing Me? And How to Write Funny. His short fiction and nonfiction have been widely published. He's a recent winner of the Dogwood Fiction Prize and has been published in such journals as Tin House, Hawaii Pacific Review, Connecticut Review, Mississippi Quarterly, and others. He holds advanced degrees in creative writing from Antioch University and Ohio University and currently lives in Athens, Ohio. Well, that's the about the author in the book of the week this week. That is Ghost Hunting Ohio from John B. Kachuba. And this book came out in 2004, and I was able to meet him. Actually saw him at a convention. I think we met him before that, and John became a friend. And we shared a lot of information and knowledge over the years. And there's the link in the chat room to his book, and that link will also be on the archive on Podbean when that comes out. You'll be able to see all the books of the week that I put up throughout the course of being here on WCJV. The last 25 episodes, I think, I've been on here. 25 weeks of the show. I've wanted to do something else with the show, and adding the book of the week, I think, is a nice thing. And it's also gotten a lot of emails from people asking questions about books, and people joining me on Twitter and Facebook that are writers or publishers of books. So it's doing something good out there, and providing the some interest in books, on paranormal books, because, you know, I can share knowledge and information, but there's a lot of other things that I've read, and this book included, that provide a lot of other knowledge and information that I can't give you from just doing this show. And Ghost Hunting Ohio, there's actually two Ghost Hunting Ohio books. The first one is just Ghost Hunting Ohio. The second one is On the Road Again. And that was a follow-up book he did a few years ago. And this one is the original one back from 2004. And this is a really refreshing book. And I'll tell you why. As I mentioned, he has a degree in journalism. So it's much easier to read than books published by people like me who don't have a background in writing. It's very, very nice to read creative writing, his background, John Kachuba. So it flows good. The writing is good. It's edited very nicely. It's very comfortable to read. It's the kind of book that you just sit next to a fire and you read it from beginning to end, and you just feel inspired to go to the next chapter and the next little story. And it's condensed stories, And if believe it was last week, I talked about the book Out of New Mexico, and how if you're not from New Mexico, it's still a good book to read. And that was Benjamin Radford's book, Mysterious New Mexico. But this one here is essentially about Ohio, haunted Ohio places, and it's broken down really nice. It's broken down into sections of the state: Northwest, Northeast, which is where I reside, Central and Southwest, and Southeast. So he talks about a number of haunted places, and not just stories and speculation about these places, but he actually visits them. So this is kind of through the eyes of him, his feelings on these sightings, and the feelings that he's gotten from visiting these places, as well as investigating some of these places. And he talks about the history of each location, and it's really interesting to read. It's almost like little mini stories in a book, and you get to know these places. And for me, it was nice because I visited a lot of these places here in Ohio, and lived near some of these places, and others I've researched and read about over the years. And he actually goes to these places and does a little write-up on them. And like I said, he's done a second book, which will be the book of the week, down the road, Ghost Hunting Ohio on the Road Again, which his first book is just Ghost Hunting Ohio, which is he's had an updated cover. The one I have is an original cover. I couldn't find that one online anywhere. And there's a whole series of these books. He's also done Ghost Hunting Illinois. I don't remember when that one came out. It was a few years ago. And I think he's kind of moved on from the ghost hunting stuff a little bit. He didn't come in as a ghost hunter, but was involved in the field as a speaker, as a presenter. And I met him at the Ohio Paranormal Convention, I want to say 2008. We spoke together there, and I bumped into him out on the circuit, the speaking circuit, different events over the years. So again, John Kitschuba's Ghost Hunting Ohio, the book of the week this week, a very good read. And it's very similar to the book of the week that we're going to have next week, Don Allison's book on Gettysburg, which is also a place I've visited. Last been there last year. So we'll talk about that one next week. And as far as, you know, I mentioned conference conventions, there's a lot of cool ones coming up. I don't have a whole lot of time to get into those things, but March really opens the doors. Springtime is when a lot of these stuff. A lot of these events start to pop up and happen. The ones for the fall start to pop up, and they bloom like little flowers. And hopefully I'll be updating the conferences conventions for 2016 for ghosts, ufology, and cryptozoology in the next couple of weeks. I had a few updates a couple of days ago, February 28th. I updated my events listing. And again, you can find that at paranewsinsider.com/events. And a whole listing of events coming up here for March, the Gift of Light Expo, March 12th and 13th in Columbus, Ohio, the 5th Annual Texas Paranormal Unity Fest, March 19th in Glen Rose, Texas. Those are in March in the ghost area. Now in UFOs, the UFO Paranormal Summit, March 4th and 5th at Ocean Shores, Washington, the 2016 Swamp Gas UFO Conference, March 19th. In Ann Arbor, Michigan, in the UFO area. And March for cryptozoology, we have the Sasquatch Event Weekend, March 4th through the 6th. That's coming up quickly at Tridelphia, West Virginia. That's at a Cabela's, and that's a free event. So check that one out if you're anywhere near Tridelphia, West Virginia. The link is up on paranewsinsider.com/events. Or click on the events tab at the top. And as always, if you have any information about any event and would like to hear it here as well as see it on the website, let me know by emailing me at insider@paranewsinsider.com, or click on the about/contact link, and you can find that under my legs at the image there at the top of the Paranormal News Insider little header logo there. And you can submit information about an event or something, and anything, stories, anything. A book, if you have a book you've written or even read that I haven't mentioned yet and you'd like to hear me read it. Now, granted, I shouldn't say most, every book that I present here is book of the week, just to clarify. These are books that I have read. I'm not just throwing books out here that that I think are good, that I've heard about. I actually read these books. Most of these books so far are on my actually every book I've mentioned so far I have in my personal collection of books. Now, there are some books that I have read that I got from libraries that I've returned. So I'll still mention those because I have those on my major list of books that I have at my disposal. So with that being said, that was a fast hour. Big thanks to everybody in the chat room. Stirring up trouble there. I see my name flying around every now and again. And there is Frank Lee in there causing trouble as always. And if you're not in the chat room, you're missing out. There's a lot of conversations and things going on. And again, I'm pushing links into the site for extra additional information. It's an extra dynamic dimension to these shows, having a chat room. It's not just for discussion. It's also for providing links to other information. So big thanks to everybody in the chat room, Dita, for corralling everybody and keeping everybody in line. And always to Cindy, my producer, for keeping the show going, keeping it, keeping the Skype gods happy. And also, as always, big thanks to everybody for tuning in live tonight, if you have, and also, not to a lesser degree, of anybody who's listening in on an archive of this show. And as always, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, and the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.